Hello everyone and welcome back to Thickcast. I'm your host Molly Edwards and today joining me on the podcast is my other half. I won't say my better half because I am the better half, Ricky Stevens. Would you like to say hello?
Hello to my significant other.
It's not really me you're saying hello to, is it? It's the people that are listening to this.
This is true. Are you better than them as well?
No, I'm better than you.
Just me.
And that's it. So, I have had other couples on the podcast before, but you are my couple.
Is there more than, what? There's more than one of me?
No, well, I've
that'd
had...
That'd be not a good thing.
I've had, do you know Phoebe Goodwin, Nathan Styles?
Nope.
Well, they've been on the podcast together before.
How was that one?
It was good. It was good, talking about how they prepped together and stuff. But I thought I'd bring you on here. You can talk about yourself. You can talk about how wonderful I am.
We don't want to lie to people. We want it to be a factual podcast, no?
Yeah, so don't tell lies about yourself, basically, then.
Okay.
And about how we kind of prepped together, things like that. So do you want to introduce yourself first? Tell everyone a little bit about yourself.
I am Ricky Stevens, as Molly has just said. Funny enough, I've just put a post up on my Instagram, Ricky Stevens BB, all one word.
Plug in there early, babe.
Got to be done. Of my second ever show, I competed against a guy called James 5 years ago. And then after lockdown, I joined a new gym, and I see him in there and I recognised him. Said hello to him, realised that we actually competed together. Been really good mates since. And we actually competed against each other again this year, but in an overall rather than a novice class, which we did 5 years ago. So it's just, it's great how time flies and the bonds you can make in this weird and wonderful bodybuilding game.
So that obviously wasn't your first show. Was that your first year competing in 2019?
I did my first show 2018. Didn't have a clue what I was doing. 2019 had a bit more of a clue what I was doing. Thought I knew it all. Definitely didn't. Like we all think we do when we're young and stupid. But to be fair, I was natty then in 2019 and pretty pleased with how I looked. And it was funny enough, when I competed against Jay and the guy who won our class, whose name I don't know, but he looked fantastic. And like I say, I was natty at the time and I was like, yeah, I can't be natty anymore. I can't keep up with these boys. So started my first ever cycle not long after that. Then lockdown happened, so I didn't really do much during lockdown. Bit of a bulk, bit of a cut, as everybody else tried to do to be somewhat mentally engaged during what was pretty boring time. Competed again in 2021. And then took a few years off because of injuries, life, stuff like that. And got back on stage 3 times this year. With a 5-month gap in between shows, which wasn't the plan, because I competed earlier this year to see where my standard is, shake the ring rust off. The plan was always to compete towards the end of 2025 and 2026, try and get to a decent standard. Then I slid into the DMs of a girl who posted up a great picture of her dog who looked like he was trying to escape in the sunset. And I thought that was a really cool picture. So I said to her that was a really cool picture and then ended up doing a prep with her.
These things happen. So that's actually something that would be quite interesting to talk about, is the fact that your first couple shows, you were natural. And although I would say majority of the people who listen to my podcast are female, I know there definitely are some males listening. And actually, the drug aspect, I think, kind of crosses over from male to female as well in some aspects. Obviously not what drugs you take. If I took the drugs you take, I'd probably die.
Yeah, but maybe, but also I don't... I'm very much of the belief and the ethos to get the most from the least. So I don't take a lot, especially compared to other open bodybuilders. But
what
you do notice more and more is drugs being used by female athletes at all levels. From a very early standard as well. Some girls are using stuff for their first ever show.
Yeah.
Like you're having bikini girls on Primo, for example.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. I think any bodybuilder, whether you're male or female, regardless of your class, be natural. Be natural for as long as you can. Because once you start using, you can't stop.
Yeah.
Not unless you want to completely give up bodybuilding. But then, have you caused permanent damage in that time in between? You're not sure.
Yeah.
Which is scary for females, obviously.
Yeah, and obviously that's the kind of... It was more the thought process that I wanted to kind of touch on more with you. Because obviously if we sat here and I know you're obviously pretty open with things, and I was like, oh, let's break down your cycle together. For most people that listen to this, they're probably not going to be that interested.
No, it's true.
But that kind of thought process, I think, is very similar to mine, is that both of us started off natural.
Mm-hmm.
For me then, I did a season when I ran a little bit of clenbuterol, and then I kind of, and really like, I'm getting on a bit in this sport as well. And then I decided we'll put a little bit of Anavar in. And I think it was kind of very much the same with you as well. And obviously from a male perspective, it's different, because I think a lot of boys, and you see it down the gym a lot, they're like 18 years old.
Oh, God,
and they're like, oh yeah, I'm just gonna do some tests and some DECA and some of this.
Oh, it's true. No, I've had conference calls with prospective clients who are that age, who are already on cycle.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, the first thing I'm going to do is get you off cycle. Eventually wean you down and keep you natural and get back into a natural state for a good number of years until you've maximised your potential. But people are just... I think Instagram's the worst for it, because it's very much a now generation.
Yeah,
and
they
think that's the answer. Yeah, and they think, okay, I'll just take test and trend for my first ever cycle, and thinking that'd be absolutely fine. It's like, there's a lot more to it than that.
I think as well for me, is like, because like you said, Instagram's this now generation, but also... On Instagram, you're constantly seeing, you know, like the top level athletes all the time are in your face, right? And you think that you need to look like that to
be competitive.
To be competitive, right? And like, obviously, like maybe not you, but like, we'd all love to look like Laura Lee or Ashley or Maureen or whoever those top bikini girls are, or the top figure girls, whatever, or wellness. And you probably sit there and you want to look like, I don't know, whatever.
Oh, I can name any open bodybuilder. I'd love to be just as big as them to begin with.
Yeah, and like, I think we all have that kind of, like, you want to look like that. But I think what we don't realise and what we don't see sometimes, especially people that are very new to the sport, is, and obviously the standard of the sport, I think, when I look back, and I look, so if I look at a picture of myself in my first season in 2019, just myself, I think, fucking hell, I look shit.
Yeah.
Like, I look horrendous.
Yeah, I said this to you earlier. My first ever show in 2018, it didn't even look like I dieted. No. At the time, I thought I looked great.
Yeah.
Obviously, I didn't place. Because why would I? Because I looked awful.
Yeah, but also, and I look at my posing and then I think, fucking hell, what was that?
Oh, that's another story.
But also, when you look at the lineups then, and I did this a few months back, I found my photos from 2019. And you know, when they've got their shows, they do the lineup and on the stage. And I look at the lineups, and I wasn't great. Like, I pranked myself. I got no fucking clue what bodybuilding was. And I spoke about this before. But when I actually look at the lineup, I'm like, actually, I didn't look out of place, so to speak. I definitely need to be more leaner, posing-wise. And yes, I need to be tighter. But actually, no one was as tight as what they are now.
No. But I think, look, it's funny how you look back on pictures. And you can, especially if there's a big class, you can spot who's got potential.
Yeah.
At the time, you can't. You're like, that person looks good. Oh, I'm going to beat that person. How did I lose to that person? How did that? You don't see it. But like you say, you look back now, you're like, actually, do you know what? Even give yourself credit. You're like, I didn't look as bad as I thought. I got potential. I knew I looked bad in 2018. That's why I wanted to do it again in 2019 and did it properly. I had some bad advice in 2018, so decided to do it pretty much myself in 2019. And I think the pictures that you saw earlier speak for themselves. I was really happy with how I looked, especially on the day. But then... Yeah, like I say, I see the bigger boys, it's like, I need to get bigger.
Yeah, but I think we are very much now, like you said, a now generation. We wouldn't look like those pros. And the reality is, like, when you step on an amateur stage, like, you're not against Olympians.
No.
Funnily enough.
No.
And actually, like, you don't need to be at that level on your first season. you know, there are girls out there, that Winch Adams, that wellness girl that I showed you, and she did go pro and went to the Olympia in her first season, and that's mental, but that's like one in a million,
yeah,
right?
It's very much a freak, because this is why it's disappointing. You see people using any form of cycle straight away.
Yeah.
You don't know how good you can be off it. And so if you're really, really good off it, you only need the minimal amount to get better.
Yeah,
where some people are using crazy things. Like, you've heard some horror stories through your coaching, girls
massively,
coming to you.
Massively, yeah.
Yeah. So my thinking was, I did have a coach after I finished competing in 2019. And he was really good. He educated me very well on it. And like I say, I was getting the most from the least. So I won't go into what I was taking and the quantities of it, but it was the most basic stuff.
Mm.
It was just a bit of test and a deca, and that was it.
Yeah.
And even that was very small quantities.
And I think that's the thing. I think when people talk to me and I like, oh man, and I'm not natural and I'm not going to be one of these people that's like, yeah, I'm natural. I'm like, but I know you're not. Like,
no.
You know, there's girls that I see on Instagram and they're like, I'm natural. I'm like, well, I know you're not, because I used to coach you and I knew what you were taking then. And I knew what you were taking when you came to me. You're not natural, love. You know, I'm honest about it. But also, like, when I talk to people, I'm like, I'm taking a lot less than what a lot of people think I'm taking at the same time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You don't even do any injectables because you're scared of needles.
No, fuck that.
But, no, this is it. But people, because you're open and say, yeah, yeah, I'm on cycle, people instantly think,
oh yeah, they think I must be on like Anavar, Primo, Growth,
yeah, this is it.
Femtest,
and then
all
because,
at the same time.
Because you're obviously, you put the work in to get the physique you do, you have the muscle mass. People think, oh, you've only got that because you've taken X, Y, and Z. It's like, no, you've fucking grafted.
Yeah.
You put the work in for years.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That's the thing. Years, like I said, the picture I did in 2019, that's 5 years ago. I was, I think, 74 kilo on stage, 72, 74, something like that. It's 87 this time.
Yeah.
So you're talking, let's say, 15 kilos in 5 years. 3 kilo a year, but you're then throwing a lockdown. That's what progress is.
Yeah. And I think there's these people that they say, like, oh, I gained 10 kilograms this year and all this. And I'm like,
no, you haven't.
No, you didn't.
No, you just haven't.
Either you're not in condition or, like, something drastic's happened.
But it's it. Even when I compete again next year, if I weigh 87 again on stage, but I look better, I couldn't give a shit.
Yeah.
Because I know I've improved.
Yeah.
And people just, scale weight's another conversation we can have, but maybe not today.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. I think there's a lot of the conversation you can have. Yeah, it's kind of, anyway, what we're starting off saying is it's kind of a mindset behind drugs is very similar for both of us.
Mm.
And I think in a relationship as well, that's been quite important for both of us. Like,
I think
if you were taking, and there are people out there that do, that take so many drugs, it affects your personality.
Yeah.
And then it negatively affected our relationship.
Oh, we wouldn't be here now.
No, we wouldn't.
No way.
And I think vice versa. And obviously there are people out there that do it, and there are people out there that, you know, to them, bodybuilding is more important than their relationship. And if that's your choice, then fine.
Like, well, to be fair, we've had almost like a baptism of fire when it comes to starting a relationship. You delayed your prep by a day so we can have our first date.
Yeah.
Obviously went well. And then obviously supporting you all the way through when you started your prep. And then, because I was just started to do online coaching from this year, and I've got a few clients, and I wanted to build up my portfolio. So the idea was to do a photo shoot, and it was like, okay, we'll do one together because you're in prep, you'll be lean. It'd be great for your business as well. I might as well do the same, but I just didn't have the motivation to prep for just a photo shoot. I knew I'd cheat on the diet because I wouldn't give a shit. And I was like, okay, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it properly. So that's why I decided to do a prep as well. So our relationships basically started one day out from a prep and evolved into both of us prepping. And to be fair, when on our first day, I was off cycle. I wasn't barely anything compared to my TRT was so low, which is great. But that's how you've known me, and you've known me all the way through a prep as well.
Yeah.
And I think it's fair to say the only time I sort of changed as a person was towards the end of prep, which everybody does because you get tired, you get hungry. But when I get tired, I just go quiet. I don't get snappy, I don't get angry, I don't start arguments, I'm just go quiet. Or I just can't move.
Yeah, it can't move. Yeah.
Which we can resolve for next prep, because I was just massively fatigued, basically. Yeah.
I think had you not been so fatigued, I think as well you wouldn't have been so bad as well.
Yeah.
Not that you were bad, like, to be fair, you were fine. But I also think it's the understanding from each of us.
Oh, without a doubt. We very much established early that we have a 100 rule, where if Molly is a 30, then I'm 70 that day, I'm picking it up, or vice versa. And there's one great example where, so I live in South London, Molly lived in Devon at the time, and we went to, was it a garden centre we was going to walk around?
Yeah.
And they wanted to charge us like 25 quid each to get in. I was like, absolutely not. So we decided to walk around, it was the middle of summer, so it was really nice weather. We decided to walk around this wooden path instead. Literally got to the wooden path, took like 10 steps, and I was like, I can't do this. I had no energy, I just crashed, absolutely flatlined. And I felt bad, because I was like, okay, I still want to support her, because she needs to get steps in, but my legs were so heavy. So we drove home, she cooked my meal, I just laid on the sofa and did absolutely nothing. And it was literally like that all the way through until the end.
Yeah. Just
Just for the record, that doesn't count for you cooking for me, which you still haven't done.
I fucking made you brownies today.
Like, no, you made yourself a brownie and you said I could have some.
I made us a brownie. So far, you've eaten the same amount as me, if not a little bit more.
Of the brownie?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because if you're going to give me a plate of brownies, I'm not going to say no.
I made that for you. That was loving, that was.
It was very, very... I made you brownies on our first date as well.
You did, yeah.
Before I knew about your health issues when it comes to food.
Yeah. I think we'll go through that at some point.
That was good. They were good brownies, though.
I think mine was good. For
they're really good.
The first attempt at a new
that's
recipe.
What I mean. That's what I mean. The recipe.
No gluten, no soy, no dairy. I think I did pretty fucking well.
No, that's what I mean. It's come out more like a cake than a brownie.
Yeah.
And it's still moist.
And it didn't taste like shit, like most of this gluten-free, and moist, yeah, actually, because a lot of this gluten-free stuff I've been trying, it's like...
But again, that doesn't count as you cooking for me. It'd be nice to, you know, come home to something.
I'll be making you a fucking 7-course a la carte menu at some point, and you'll be like, this doesn't count as cooking.
Well, not if you get someone else to do it, no.
I can fucking do that shit. A single prawn with some ketchup around it and a nice spiral.
Fucking hell, you spoil me. what was you talking about?
I don't even know. Let's touch on your coaching a little bit, because that's not your main job at the moment, is it? But you kind of want to make it your main job.
I do want to make it my own job. I'm a window cleaner by trade. I've got a pretty successful business, I'd say. Have between 400 to 500 clients that I do each month. And I'm one of the traditional window cleaners, so I do tend to do most of my work off a ladder, which is great for... Off-season is fine, because you're staying active, you're doing lots of steps. Mm-hmm. Start of prep is great, it's fine, you lose body fat very quickly. Towards the end of prep is fucking horrific, because my legs never get a chance to rest.
I think with active jobs versus desk jobs, I think there's like so many pros and cons.
Oh, massively. But I now want a desk job, that's why I want to do online coaching. I've been doing online coaching like with mates and friends of friends and stuff like that for a little while, and have got very, very good results. But I want to make it my primary source of income, just because I prefer lifestyle clients. I still like prep clients. I prepped my brother, he competed last year, and he looked fantastic for his first ever show, placed in every single competition he did, won a few classes as well. Really, really enjoyed that. I got a big buzz watching him. I do have a few prep clients on my books now, but I do like lifestyle, I think, a lot more. Just because you're literally transforming someone's life for the better.
Yeah.
With bodybuilding, yeah, it's great watching them achieve something, but achieving somebody's life expectancy long term is much more rewarding, and educating people as well.
Yeah.
There's so many times you would get it with clients, especially lifestyle clients, where you give them a meal plan, but like, fucking hell, there's so much food.
All the time.
But then they eat it. They're like, so I've had a client sign up recently. I won't say his name, but he was like, I feel Like, I've got so much more energy. I feel so full all the time. My sleep's getting better. I'm not having any caffeine. And he's losing kilos every week. Kilos every single week.
Is that the online coach's wife?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. No, he's doing very well as well.
But yeah, I think it's quite interesting how we prefer different things. Like, I do prefer prep clients.
Mm.
I do enjoy lifestyle clients as well. But I think for me, I enjoy the challenge of prep clients.
Mm.
I enjoy kind of getting that eye for it. And I think as well,
I think you're a lot more patient than I am. Because with bodybuilders, especially middle to end of preps, very needy.
Yeah, they can be. Yeah. But then again, it depends on the client.
It does depend on the client. And to be fair, that is your full-time job.
Yeah.
So you do have the time to allocate towards it. Where if I'm halfway up a ladder and I've got a client messaging me saying, oh, I've missed my meal three, what can I have instead? I'm up a ladder.
I think you kind of need it to be honest, to be successful. As a prep client, and I think as well, I've lost my bloody train of thought here. I think you need to, but as a client, you need that from your coach. Like, you need a coach.
I don't get me wrong. My response time is very, very quick.
It is rapid.
No, I pride myself on that. Like, you see coaches who take hours, days, weeks to get back to clients, and I would never do that. I've within half an hour, kind of got their full answer. But there's obviously a time and a place to, you're quite lucky. You wake up in the mornings. You can straighten your laptop, you can do people's check-ins, you can still add a meal plan straight away. I either have to do it on my phone in between doing people's houses, or do it all on the weekends. And obviously the busier I get, it's going to eat into my weekend time, which isn't a problem, but then it eats into our weekend time. It's like, when do we get a chance to be together?
Yeah. But I think you'll grow up more and more.
This is it, yeah. Once I get a certain...
I think that's the thing that I was saying is, like, both of us, that we are very good on response times. We're not leaving people days, weeks for their check in.
No. And I can testify to this firsthand, though. I know she's very good at response times, especially when girls are very close to being on stage. Because she has a god awful fucking alarm. And it's not just one, it's 20 of them. And when girls are in prep, it's going off at 6 a.m., 6:05, 6:10, 6:15, 6:20. And the noise. Honestly, it just makes you want to throw your phone out the window.
You're lucky you weren't with me at the beginning of the year, because at the beginning of the year, I'd got girls that were waking up at 4:30 in the morning sending me their check-ins. But because they were in prep, and because they were so close to show as well, I had to be up at 4 and then 4:30, but obviously I'd just stay awake, to do their check-ins every single morning.
So that's something to look forward to in the new year, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wonderful.
So I was up doing that, and then I would go back to sleep again. Oh no, it's only certain people.
Okay.
So, because obviously if I've got that both those ladies, they'd got kids, but they would, they'd get up in the morning train when the kids were still asleep, train, come back, do the school run, go to work. So clients like that, I would then need to be up with them in the morning, do their check-in, go back to bed.
But this is the... You would... If in this situation, that means I'm getting up at 4:30. I'm with your clients. You're going back to bed and I'm going to work. And then I get in and I try to have a nap. And you've got loads of energy because you've gone back to sleep. I'm like, oh, just give me some...
No, but I'd only go back to... Yeah, but those, I'd only go back to sleep from 4:30, 4:45-ish, once I'd done their check-ins, till 6:00. I'd only go back to sleep for an hour and then I'd be up for everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't have loads of energy. I'd be fucking tired.
Good. We can suffer together then.
We can suffer together.
Like we did in prep.
Yeah. But yeah, I think you working for yourself as well allows you to have that more flexibility. I think if you worked a 9-to-5 in an office, are you going to be able to be there when you've got a client
stressing about
something,
definitely
having a meltdown?
No, you can't.
You know, I've picked up the phone to clients before when they've been upset and just been like, right, I'm going to ring you now.
Oh, yeah, I've done the same. Yeah, I've done exactly the same.
You have to do that. So, yeah, I do think you've got that kind of bonus working for yourself.
Oh, for sure. That's also working for yourself helped in prep. Because like I say, I started prepping January this year and did 2 shows in the end of April and then started prep again I mean, we competed middle of October, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So I must have started prep start of August. So I wasn't in bad shape, because there was only a few months between shows, and I was in reasonable shape still. So I think I needed 10, 11 weeks.
I think you did 10 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, start of August. But, the first half of prep, the first 4 months, was wonderful, great. Everything was going really, really well. Got into a good flow of things. And unfortunately, my peak week went wrong because we ran Vitamin C.
This is the first lot of shows.
Yeah, this was the shows back in April. I was adamant I didn't want to run Vitamin C, but when you have a coach, you trust what they say, especially when you're in prep, because your brain doesn't work properly most of the time. But I said I didn't want to run Vitamin C, it makes me hot water. Ran Vitamin C, I had about 3 to 4 kilos of water on stage, which was really fucking visible. Because if you see my check-ins 2 weeks before the show and on the stage, massively different.
Yeah.
So even 2-3 weeks out, all I needed really was a diuretic and I would have been absolutely fine. Just to take off the last bit of water from my quads. I did a show a week after. Managed to sort myself out a little bit. Won my class, so it wasn't too bad. But the show where I held all that water was that PCA show. And then deciding to prep again for PCA in October, I just had a scratch the itch. I needed to get on stage just to redeem myself a bit. And everything was going all right. Everything was going fine. Fatigue management wasn't very good. But then there was just family stresses, and I think that very much showed up on the body. My nan passed away, and her funeral was the Monday of peak week. And then we had to travel to Jersey.
Yeah.
It was just a lot going on, so my body just didn't respond towards the end at all, which was frustrating.
No, I think we got the best we could from it.
Well, this is it. Yeah, definitely. But it's almost, there was been no other prep before where I've wanted to quit during the prep. And this was the only time I've wanted to quit, and it was nothing to do, because I know how hard prep is, and it wasn't because prep was difficult, it was just because I didn't know where my head would be. And in the end, it was fine.
Yeah.
There was a few times where it was a bit difficult. But largely, it was fine. It was just physically, my body was holding stress.
Yeah.
I think ultimately from different places.
Yeah. I think some of it, though, with you was you were worrying about what might happen. You know, you were like worrying about, like, well, what if the funeral's this day?
That's it, because I didn't know.
And I was like, well, you don't know that. So why are you stressing about that now? Why are you getting upset about that now? Like, just don't worry about it. Just keep going.
Well, that's it. I did keep going, but in the back of my mind, it's like, I don't think consciously I was doing it, but maybe subconsciously I just wasn't 100% in.
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, what's the point of doing this? I might have to stop, or I should stop, or I don't want to do this. So just give up.
Mm.
So I didn't, obviously, and I got on stage and everything was fine. And we had a great experience doing it together.
Yeah.
But yeah, next on my prep, touch wood, there's going to be a fucking clean run with nothing bad happening. So I think it'd be a very different look, just because the stress from the fatigue, stress from work and fatigue management, for example, wasn't having high days. I was just running low all the time. So my body was just battered. 2 preps in a year is tough.
I think you needed high days.
Yeah,
and I said this to you.
Well, this is it. I mean, even compared the diet that I was on the first prep, the first half of the year, and the second prep, second half of the year, about 1,500 calorie difference.
Mm.
And carbs in every meal compared to carbs in only 2 meals at the second prep.
Yeah, so and more cardio as well the second.
Yeah, time. This is it. And like I said, I didn't even start from a bad starting place. I started from a worse starting place in January. Even cycle-wise, everything was exactly the same.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the only thing was just a bit more, less stress and more fatigue management.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. It's sometimes, and you see it with coaches, it's like if the client's not coming in, and we spoke about this the other day, didn't we? It can be like, just push more, just push more, just push more. And sometimes that is the answer.
Yeah.
But sometimes you need case, to kind of pull back.
We needed and to back
a
off,
lot
like,
of the time you need to pull back to push forwards again.
Yeah, yeah. I think I needed 3 weeks out, for example. I probably needed stop cardio for 3, 4 to 5 days. Run 2 high days in a row and just see what happens. Just see what happens. If you come in looking better and fresher, then okay, we'll go back to a higher baseline.
Yeah.
And just slowly trip down from there.
But I was refeeding more than you were.
Yeah, yeah. So I did have, like I said, 2 high days, and your high days were higher than mine. Mm. And at the time, you was weighing 58 kilo.
Yeah.
I was weighing about 90. So it doesn't really add up, does it?
No. And obviously a lot more drugs than me.
Yes. Yeah.
Funnily enough.
Yeah, yeah. The Anavar you were running, I think I was running about 10 times more.
But yeah, it's one of them. And I think that is something that you know, if you listen, you are prepping, male or female, it is something you need to be aware of. Is it's not always a case of just push more, just up the cardio, yeah. just drop the food. There is a point. And I think, you know, you learn as a coach. I think I've definitely learned that more. Like if I look at how I coach people right at the start,
yep.
I very rarely gave refeeds because I understood the theory behind them, but I think I was almost not confident enough to give them.
Yep.
Whereas now I give a lot more refeeds to my clients.
Well, you can visit, your eye gets better, so you can see this.
Yeah, exactly. And
sometimes, like with me, I don't look flat.
Yeah.
On my upper body, but my legs look very watery.
Yeah.
It's like, well, that's me flat.
Yeah, and it's knowing person to person.
100%.
How they hold fatigue almost,
if that makes sense.
Like, I've got some clients and they'll check in and they'll be like, I feel flat. And I look at them and I'm like, yeah, but you're not flat, you're fine.
Yeah. I remember it was the opposite with my brother when I prepped him. I was like, right, he started to do his check-in. And he was like posing. I was like, no. But this was after we trained, so we had a good 3 meals in him. This was in person. And he was posing, he was flat. And I was like, you need food tonight. So I think he didn't have any carbs in his last 2 meals, so I added carbs into his 5th meal. I said, his 6th meal, just have a dessert, have some sugars. Let's see if it can boost you up a little bit. He was really scared to have it. So no, I don't want it. So no, but you need it.
Yeah.
Like, you have to have it.
I guess it's that trust in your coach though as well, isn't it? But also, it's not like, I think some people are scared to be flat. They think like, if they're flat, like 6 weeks out, they're going to be flat on show day.
No.
And like, that's not the case. Like, you're going to have to run flat.
Especially
as a bikini girl. Like, you are going to have days, weeks fucking going to be flat. Because if, you know, if you're constantly, like, your muscles are constantly bursting full, you ain't going to be fucking lean. Like,
no.
I can tell you.
No, it's definitely not. Definitely not. No, it's been an eye-opening experience. That's why I'm confident when I do prep clients next year, I'll definitely just know what I'm doing, basically.
Yeah.
Like, a lot more confident in what you're doing. I think you already know what you're doing, but it's backing your knowledge, which is different.
Yeah. And I think that knowledge as well, I think as a coach, like when I first got people on stage and you get like a couple placings and stuff and you're like, oh, okay. But I think in my head as well, we're always so self-critical and I was like, oh, maybe I just got lucky.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
and then
when
the results are coming, you know, and you've got girls that are winning and then your next girl goes on stage and they win.
Yeah.
And the next girl gets on stage and maybe they get a top three and then your next girl gets on stage and they get an overall and you're like, I don't think this is luck anymore. Like,
maybe I know what I'm doing now. Yeah.
To a point and you're like, okay, and you start to get a bit more confidence with yourself in that as well. But yeah, I think we've gone off on such a tangent here. If I want to go on to, obviously, like prepping as a couple, and we said like pretty much our whole relationship,
yes,
has been prep. If you weren't a bodybuilder,
mm-hmm.
okay, I'm gonna have to put you in someone else's brain here, not mine.
Okay.
That scares you.
Yeah.
Don't go in there.
It goes way too fast for my liking. It doesn't really make any sense.
just go in someone else's brain. Like, one of your best mates or something, not a bodybuilder, right?
And not Hector either, because he's a girl.
Yeah. A male.
Okay.
And
he's never going to listen to this.
And because I know, obviously, there's people listening, and they find it really difficult because maybe they wanna compete.
Yeah.
And their partner maybe doesn't even go to the gym, or maybe they go to the gym a little bit, maybe they just do a bit of sport, whatever.
Yep.
What would you say as a male looking in that's not a competitor, being in a relationship with a female that is, like, what kind of advice would you give those men that might be going through it?
I think obviously it's a very broad thing to say, but you need to, if you have an ego, drop it.
Mm-hmm.
Make it about her, because you don't understand what she's going to go through. She is going to change in a certain way that you may not like, because believe it or not, girls have hormones and they play a lot of factors and plays a big role into how they are. So if one of my friends, girlfriends wanted to compete, and obviously they don't go to the gym, I'd say to him, be supportive where you can. If she wants to go out and do steps with her. If she's having a bad day, cook her meal for her. If she's having a really bad day, leave her the fuck alone.
Just don't talk to her.
Just leave the house. It's probably the safest thing. But yeah, no, jokes aside, if you don't understand it, you can ask questions, but don't be patronising. But if you truly don't understand it, show up and show your day, cheer her on. She'll really, really be happy for that. And just be genuinely interested.
Yeah.
And like I say, if you're one of these people that have a bit of an ego, like you were trying to, just don't tell her what to do. Don't say, oh, I think you, this isn't good for you, or I don't like the way you're doing this. Well, it's her choice to do this, and she wants your support. It doesn't need to be made any harder by you and your opinions. Just be supportive, and then at the end of the prep, when maybe wait 4 to 6 weeks for the hormones to come back, and then everything's level up, that's when you can have an open, if you have a good relationship, have a very open conversation. Just be honest, be like, yeah, I was not happy with you towards the end. You made me feel like I was treading on eggshells, for example, so I didn't know what to say or how to say things because you might get snappy or whatever. Yeah. Unless the girl's super chill, then it's easy.
Yeah, so I super chill.
Yeah, largely you was fine, actually. We both had moments, like, obviously it happens in prep.
Yeah.
Where I think there was only one time we both got a little bit snappy to each other, but then I think we cuddled like an hour later and forgot about it.
Yeah, we were fine.
Yeah, but everyone, it's expected. No, you were fine.
And also, like, I would say as well, from speaking to a lot of girls, their partners maybe don't approve of it because they think it's sexual.
Yes.
And
they can't see it's a sport.
Yeah.
And a fucking tough sport as well.
Yeah.
No matter the class, you go from bikini up to women's bodybuilding. It's very fucking difficult.
And I think as well, what's really interesting about the female classes is each kind of female class comes with its own challenges.
Yeah.
Like, whereas you've got bikini, where it's very much the challenge is...
What sort of condition?
What the fuck do they want?
Yeah, do you need to be PCA tight? Do you need to be... When we was in Warsaw? Poland.
Yeah,
it was Poland. Like, oh yeah, they were a bit softer. You still had great glute ham tie-ins. They still had poppy delts. Still looked good, but then... There was a pro qualifier in France week before and all the girls were tight.
Yeah.
So what do you do? Then obviously you get wellness, which is pretty similar, but you just need size. And there's a lot of girls who think they're wellness, but they're not, which is fine. They can grow into it if that's what they want. Figure in itself is very difficult because...
And figure across federations.
That's what I was going to say, because it's very ambiguous who is a figure girl and what sort of... Even the poses. Like what poses... Mm-hmm. There's so many more poses to figure out compared to a bikini girl.
Yeah, no. And like the site, for me with figure, it's like if you're doing like PCA, even like trained figure, they're so much smaller than the IFBB figure.
Yeah, this is it.
And like I had a conversation with one of my girls the other day, and like she's a really fucking good figure girl. And I was like, look, you could do really well in PCA, you can do really well in UKUP, any of them. If you want to do IFBB, like, you can do it. You've got the shape.
Yeah.
You can get the conditioning, like, we know that.
Size.
But to get that size, I was like, you're going to have to take more drugs.
Yep.
You know, and it's going to be, like, a lot.
Yeah.
And I don't think you want to do that. And she was like, no, I don't. No. So, we're not going to do that.
Yeah, conversation done. Like, but just be happy where you are. At the end of the day as well.
But I think that's the conversation you've got to have as well, 100%.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, bodybuilding's a hobby. So it links back to what would I say to a mate whose girlfriend would do it. It's a hobby.
Yeah.
Like people, so just for example, that bloke could really like play football every weekend.
Yeah.
I bet she's happy he leaves the house. but if he comes back and starts telling me about the goal he scored, she listens.
Yeah.
But the difference is with bodybuilding, it's not a 90-minute match. It's a 19-week prep.
Yeah.
Where you are in the gym 4, 5, 6 days a week, maybe 7, and you are just working your ass off every single time you step in that gym. And... just because people can't see all of that, they only see the stage pictures. They don't know the journey up to there. Yeah. So you need to be supportive all the way through that journey.
And also, I guess, actually, the drug aspect as well there is, like, as a female that's taking PEDs, I think that, like, for you, you're quite clued up on what I'm taking, what the effect it could potentially have on me.
Yeah, yeah.
And how much I'm taking.
Yeah,
whereas
yeah.
I think if you've got someone that has got no clue... Even the likes of clenbuterol, they're like, oh, is she going to turn into a man? I'm like, well, no, because clenbuterol can't do that.
No.
But as someone that doesn't know that can obviously be quite daunting, scary.
Yeah.
And like we say, that obviously each kind of class has its issues, so to speak. But like we said at the beginning, like in bikini anyway, you don't want to be taking shit tons of stuff.
No.
You don't want to lose your femininity. And you'd have thought when you get to that point in bikini as well, you've been doing it naturally a few years first. But you may, like you came to me when I'd already been competing a while, and I was like, look, Ricky, I take this, I'm going to be taking some more of it.
Yeah.
And you were fine, you understood it, but had you not been into competing, again, that's something else that is...
You have to explain.
You have to explain, and I think you have to be able to educate your partner on...
Yep.
Or point them in direction, and I guess it's the same...
As soon as from outside of bodybuilding, as soon as anybody hears the word steroid, it's a massive red flag. Yeah. It's like, this is really bad, you should not be taking it, you cannot be taking it. Where if you actually look at it, there's so many things in bodybuilding that are now being translated to everyday medicine, like creatine, for example.
Yeah.
When the people were like, I remember when I first had to take it, when I was boxing at the time, when I was a teenager, my mum and dad was like, what are you doing? You can't take that. Like,
yeah.
Okay. It's bad for me, I won't do it then. But then you fast forward it to now, isn't creatine being given to females going through menopause? So that's testosterone, isn't it?
Yeah, testosterone, yeah.
But
yeah.
I think creatine's one of them things that's been introduced now for people in hospitals.
Yeah, potentially.
I'm pretty sure I read about it, the idea.
Creatine is such a funny one because I get so many, every now and again I get like some really weird question about creatine.
Mm. No, and one of my Windigan clients, she was going through the change and she said a GP recommended creatine to her.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's why it's in my head. I was like, that was really interesting that he said that.
Yeah, I've not actually heard
that. And testosterone before. As well, but...
Yeah, testosterone.
This is it, so...
Definitely.
Yeah. So if a guy's on TRT, it's a bad thing because he's been on a high dose of steroids, but give steroids to a girl, oh, that's really, really bad. It's like, no, but medically you need it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of drugs from bodybuilding. Not all of them, but there's a lot of theories and a lot of ways bodybuilding can translate into making somebody really healthy.
Yeah. But then at the same time, people don't blink twice when you take the contraceptive pill.
No.
Which is still hormones that you're putting in the body, the same as like what it would be if you were taking testosterone.
Well, this is it. I don't tell people I take steroids. I tell people, I just take tests. Because they're like, oh, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
Because they don't understand that it's been labelled as a steroid. It's just testosterone. It's just what my body makes, but more of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, then people get freaked out by it.
It's interesting. But I think it is. It's a lot about educating. Also, like, about, like, sex drives and stuff. Because I feel like, not necessarily just your sex drive, but, like, intimacy in general.
Mm.
I think when you get deep into prep, maybe you don't cuddle as much. Maybe you don't hold each other's hands as much.
Yeah, this is what I was saying when, towards the end of a prep, if I was giving an example to one of my mates, where they could be uncomfortable with how the girl might change.
Yeah.
And he might feel rejected because the sex is gone or the sex is on pause. The girl's not doing it on purpose. She still loves you. She still wants to be with you. But it's just not there for her because the hormones might probably more than likely flatline by the time she's about to step on stage.
And also, you're fucking exhausted.
Yeah. The last thing you really want to do is, like, you've done an hour and a half's cardio. You've done a massive, like, leg session. And then, you're just absolutely fucked. All you want to do is sleep.
Yeah.
All the time.
And I don't think it's I think maybe people think of it as, like, oh, she thinks that she doesn't love me. Or he thinks...
Yes.
Because obviously it works both ways
Of course.
He thinks he doesn't love... I think he doesn't love me or whatever. But it's not even a case that. It's a case that you don't even think about it.
No.
Like, you just... You do your things that you need to do that day, and then you just, like, get into bed, and you're like, okay, night, babe, gone.
Yeah. I mean, there's a few times, especially in the summer, because obviously my place gets really warm in the summer, where in the middle of the night, I'd wake up because I need one of my 100 wees during the middle of the night. Can't go back to sleep, I'm tossing and turning. And I feel bad because I'm tossing and turning because you're asleep next to me, and I'd sleep on the sofa.
Yeah.
And then next morning, come and say hello to you, you're like, why have you left me? Do you not love me anymore? I was like, no, I do. I just wanted to sleep on the sofa because one, it's cooler in there, and two, I actually could drop off sooner rather than, like, trying to be dead still next to you.
Yeah, that's true. Apart from that plate smashing, then I did think you hated me.
No, it's funny. So, literally, just dropped off to sleep, and I still don't know how it happened.
I don't, because
but there was a plate on the draining board, and we must have done washing up, like, 2 hours before it dropped.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. Easy. So it's like 11, 12 o'clock, and then you just hear a plate smash on the floor. I'm like, the fuck is that? So I wake up, go for a wee, and just go back to the sofa, because exactly what I just said, it's hot, I'm tired, I want to get back to sleep. And then next morning, I give you a kiss goodbye to go to work, come back in from work, and you're just like, I still be crying. I'm like, you're all right. Why do you hate me? I don't. Well, I broke the plate, and now you hate me. Don't understand what you're talking about. The plate woke me up.
I still don't understand how that plate smashed.
No, neither do I. Absolute it's not mystery.
Like, we don't have a drying rack either.
It's flat. Not
like it was balanced on a dryer. It was flat on the...
I'm putting it down to, well, I was going to say your prep brain, but...
No, but it was flat, wasn't
no,
it?
No, no, I don't know. I'm just saying...
It was flat.
Okay. Like I said, we can put it down to your prep brain, but your prep brain sometimes isn't too different to your normal brain.
Thank you, darling.
You're welcome.
but hopefully that's given some people some kind of advice. And I think even... Like, for me as well, it was little things like, okay, you might not be as intimate as perhaps you normally are, but even if you just kind of give them, like, a little cuddle every now and again.
Oh, like yeah, just reassurance.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think it's being very self-aware when you're on prep.
Well, this is it. Me and you are lucky that we've prepped before. We are very self-aware of who we are as people and... what we obviously quickly learned because the relationship was very early what the other person needs at that given time.
Yeah.
So for you it's just like, okay, like if we're sitting on the sofa, I'll just hold your hands or put my arm around you or give you a hug and that's enough for you. But for me it's like, Ricky's tired, let me just, you know, do little bits like fold up the laundry.
Yeah.
Just so it's one of the best things on his mind, he doesn't really have to think about.
Yeah.
And yeah, it goes a massively long way. Yeah. So if you are somebody who has a partner who doesn't go to the gym and doesn't know anything about prep, it might be worth having a conversation before you start prep.
I think so, 100%.
Just be like,
you need to tell them what to, like,
do you remember when I sent you a voice note?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I did, because obviously, like I said, I live in South London, Molly lives in Devon at the time. And I'm driving up, and anybody who's prepped, there's a certain stage where you just know you're feeling preppy, and you know the rest of it's going to be shit.
You just start to climb into your little prep hole. Yeah, this is it. Like, I'm getting here for the foreseeable.
So this is it. So I felt it, and I knew it, and I sent her a voice note. It was along the lines of, look, I can feel prep's going to hit me hard. I still love you. I don't hate you. I'm not going to leave you. Yes, I still want to be with you at the end of this. No, I don't hate you for anything that you're about to do. But there's going to be times where I'm going to be tired. I'm going to be quiet. I might get a bit grumpy or snappy or both. Don't take it personally, but I thought I'd give it a heads up. And all I got back was, yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
But I think it is. I think it is being self-aware and going, okay, when I prep, I might be a little bit grumpy. I might be a little bit snappy. Mm-hmm. And knowing what you're like I said to you, like, I'm not massively grumpy when I prep. I think when I worked with the general public, I had to, because of my job role, I had to keep myself in check.
Yeah, put a face on.
Yeah, and because obviously I was working with a lot of different colleagues and stuff.
Yeah. Oh no, trust me, I get it.
Yeah,
obviously running my own business.
Yeah.
I mean, towards the end of prep, everyone's like, I'll work mainly in the mornings.
Mm.
And they'll be like, good morning, how are you? There's only so many fucking times you can answer that in prep.
Yeah.
Nicely.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, by the end of it, after I do like 20 clients, I'm like, oh, I'm so tired.
Yeah. And I think
because, so I get it.
Yeah, where I'd worked before, obviously in the gym, you're constantly working with other people's issues.
Yes.
Making, like, listening to them always talk about like how fucking bad their day is because their fucking partner's gone to watch the football and not done the housework or whatever. I don't fucking know. Never been to watch the football.
Never done housework either.
Just remember, I can edit this. But you know what I mean? You're constantly listening and having to be like, oh, yeah, yeah, oh, yeah,
yeah, it's yeah, awful, this is it.
You know, you learn that to be very self-aware.
Yeah.
So I think I knew I wouldn't necessarily be snappy, but I know for me, I'm just very emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And a little bit quieter, I'd say.
You're less hyper.
Yeah, my hyperactivity goes.
Yeah, it's very much back now.
Yeah.
No, it is that. It is, you have to be... It sounds like we're giving relationship advice in general, or communications, everything.
Yeah.
Regardless of bodybuilding, prep, whatever.
But also I found for me as well, like, and I think like my ADHD changes when I'm in prep to when I'm not
You
as get well.
More hyper-focused. Which was fine, because obviously for prep it's great.
Yeah.
My worry was at the end of that, when you burn out, when you've got nothing to focus on.
Yeah.
And there was obviously things that you were thinking to do in between shows, and it was going to have like a 4-week gap between shows, and like, you need something to focus on.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you will crash and burn.
Yeah.
But to be fair, this rebound's been really good for you, because you've...
I've been fine, yeah.
Yeah. Because you've had things to focus on.
Yeah. So I think for me, like, my hyperfocus, and because I know, like, people listen to this, like, some people, like, either are ADHD or have, like, ADHD traits to them. Mm. For me, like, and but also I've noticed with clients that have other, I don't know what the word is, not ADHD. What's the word if you have, like, ADHD or autism or any sort of, I guess, neurodivergence?
Yeah, it just...
I think it does heighten in PrEP. Like, personally, I think it does.
Yeah, I think as well, there's almost going back to the gear conversation. Generally speaking, it's not a rule of thumb, but generally speaking, how you are as a person off cycle is how you are as a person on cycle, but it's ramped up.
Yeah.
Like, if you're a chill guy, you're just going to be a chill guy. If you're a bit of a dickhead, you're going to be more of a dickhead. So if you have got ADHD, you've got more ADHD available to you.
Yeah, but I think it's different. I mean, I think it's different. I think.
But I'm not saying the drug's doing that. I'm just saying that's what PrEP does to you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think if you're an arsehole when you take steroids, don't fucking take steroids and maybe go to therapy.
Yeah, if you're an arsehole before you take steroids, and then you take steroids and are in PrEP, just get in the bin.
Yeah. I think, though, that people use it as... And this is the thing, like, I've spoken to a lot of people, some on the podcast, some kind of off the podcast, that have been through fucking hell and back.
Yeah.
And they find bodybuilding, and bodybuilding's like almost their coping mechanism. I've definitely found for me, it has been... Like, for me, whether I compete or not... Like, training is what focuses my brain. Yep. Training, it sorts my...
Well, that's why anybody decides to get on stage, because they love training.
Yeah. And it's given me that, like, my mind's not quiet at all.
Yep.
But when I'm training, when I'm in that set, that's the only time my brain is silent.
I'm with you there. Earphones in, world off.
Yeah. And, like, 100%. That's the only time. And, like, when your brain is going and going and going and going and going...
It's peace.
Yeah. And, like, that's what I mean. Like, for me, like, I've never, ever stopped training. But I think a lot of people find bodybuilding and it's kind of that replacement for maybe an addiction.
Yeah.
Or a lot of the time, actually, for an addiction, whether that's drugs, alcohol, whatever. But that might not necessarily... That's not healed the trauma they've been through. So they swap that addiction, that alcohol addiction, for steroid addiction, which essentially is what it can be.
Yeah.
And then they just put it under this umbrella of bodybuilding, but they've not dealt with the trauma that's caused that addiction in the first place.
But also, if you're going into a PrEP with trauma, your trauma's going to be worse by the end of it.
Yeah.
Because, as we said, male, female, doesn't matter. You're not in the right frame of mind towards the end of PrEP. Your brain doesn't work properly. Your hormones flatline. Both male and females.
Yeah.
So if you haven't dealt with any issues before PrEP, the rebound of any PrEP is the most difficult part of a PrEP.
Yeah. 100%.
Regardless, if you come in happy as Larry and you're fighting fit and you're great, your rebound's not going to be horrific. Still going to be hard.
Yeah.
You're still going to fuck up, but if you've got trauma attached to that and you're not in a good place physically, you're better off just dealing with your issues before you do anything.
Yeah, 100%. And maybe it highlights it for some people as well.
Maybe, going back to the relationship thing as well, if you're in a relationship and you need some work on it first before you do a
prep. Yeah, don't go into prep.
Because it won't last.
No. I can't remember where I was started with that whole thing. But yeah, I do think it changed me in that respect. I don't think you really changed that much.
When I'm on an off cycle, no one can really tell the difference. I'm just...
But yeah, mine wasn't drug related. It was literally...
I think with me, I just get a bit more... I'm a lot more organised. I'm pretty organised anyway, but I'm like...
Yeah.
Almost militant a bit. It's like, yeah, cool, I'm doing the cleaning. Everything has to be put away perfectly.
Mm.
Everything's been hoovered, tidied, like the floor's washed. But that'd be like every other day.
Yeah.
Just it'd be like a rest day that I need something to do.
Mm.
But yeah, it's just it's almost finding something to cope with PrEP outside of PrEP.
Yeah.
So for you, it was throwing yourself into work.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, I definitely hyperfocus more. And I think as well, my hyperactivity was definitely a lot less. But I don't know how hyper you can be when you're doing fucking 90 minutes cardio a day and 18,000 steps. I think that's gone.
Yeah.
I think my hyperactivity was gone, but definitely like my hyperfocus was more, but my overwhelm was a lot more as well. Yep. Like that ADHD overwhelm was so much more.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, packing was the number one thing, wasn't it? When you had to pack clothes.
No, it wasn't that. It was when I had 3 different days of food.
Oh, yeah.
That was the day I literally...
Yeah.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah, but this is the thing, and this is where I think sometimes we do complement each other very well. I'm very logical in the way I think. I'm like, this is this and this. It's like, that's it.
Yeah, you're like almost too black. Like, you are only black and white. Like, Ricky has no grey area.
There is no... It's like, not just thing as grey.
Oh, maybe. And he's like, no. Like, the answer to any question is yes or no.
Yes.
Like, there is... Like, you have zero grey area.
But this is where it comes in handy for when you had your 3 different days of food issue. It's like, okay, what meals can you make now?
Yeah.
Can you make meals somewhere else whilst you're away? Yes and yes.
Yeah.
Did you manage to handle it well?
Oh, yeah, it was fine.
Yeah, we go, see? So it does work. So you went, I think you stayed at a client's house, wasn't it?
Yeah, I stayed at Holly's, yeah.
That was it. So he was like, yeah, I can just make food at Holly's. Okay, cool. So you don't need to worry. You don't need to worry.
Like 2 meals.
Yeah, you don't need to worry about any of those meals. So forget them. They're done with. And then you can make the meals off yourself. And then it's easy.
It was fine. It was fine. We will answer some questions.
Oh, is this leading into my yes and no things then?
Yeah, you can only answer yes or no to these.
Really?
Somehow.
Okay. All right, no, I'll try, yeah.
Okay, so no, you can't, because like these are not yes or no questions.
Okay, let's go.
Okay, so who is the better cook?
Me.
Yeah, you are. It's not like I can't cook.
I don't know.
I'm just, and I've said this before, like, I'm so fucking lazy with my cooking.
You don't have to add with the cooking part to that sentence.
My meal making.
No, you're just lazy.
Shut up. I'm not lazy.
Is the bathroom clean?
No, it's been all cleaning stuff. Right? It was not filthy, don't say that. People are going to think that we've got fucking shit up the walls or something.
No, we haven't. No, it's not that bad. No, it's only because I did all the housework yesterday and I asked you to do the bathroom and it's still not done.
No, so we didn't get any cleaning stuff. What's your favourite thing about each other?
I think my favourite thing with us as a couple is our communication.
Yeah, okay. What's this about each other?
They happen to have to be nice to you.
Yeah, maybe we'll skip that one.
Favourite thing about you? Are we talking physically or?
I don't know. She's just put, what's your favourite thing about each other?
How comfortable I feel around you.
Okay. Mine's probably that you try and understand me.
Oh, yep, I'm trying still.
I mean, yeah, trying is like the key word there. Yeah. No, we try.
We've made a lot of progress there.
Yeah. Definitely. How did you meet? We kind of covered that in the first one. You just dropped me a message on Instagram.
Yep, I started to follow you this year. You followed me 3 years ago. So it took you 3 years to get my attention. Next question.
No, but we actually went on your thing. You'd like pictures of me from back then, so...
That sounds double creepy.
Yeah, it does, so... I'm sure I'm
right now. Edit that bit out.
How can I make my coach swap my meal plan bananas and cottage cheese for anabolic Ben & Jerry's? Firstly, I wouldn't fucking eat cottage cheese if you paid me. That stuff's disgusting.
Bananas and cottage cheese in the same meal? That's rank.
Probably.
That's fucking vile. Get a new coach.
Yeah, get a new coach. What are your goals for off season?
Just get bigger. Isn't that the same as every off season?
I don't know. I think it depends what you need to do to fit your class. I think.
The feedback I got was everything's there, just be tighter. Because I definitely could have been tighter because of the stresses that we spoke about. That was the reason why I wasn't as tight as I could be. But the general feedback was just be tighter. Off season just means you need to just add to what you've got. If you can bring the condition.
You still do have goals because like, you want to bring your back up more, don't you?
Well, apparently I don't need to as much as you say I do.
I think it is in your head, and I do think your back needs to come up. I think your back needs to come up, and I do think your shoulders need to come up a little bit.
You're the first person who's ever said my shoulders need to come up.
They won't fucking judge from what federation shut your mouth.
Wow. No, yeah, my back's always... So I've got high lat inserts since I did my rear double, I just lose my width. But my front double, my lat spreads front and rear have come on a long way.
Mm.
I'm manipulating posing as well. So if I do like a front double and tense my abs, it looks so much better.
Yeah, I think with you as well, actually just altering your posing a little bit, like we have done.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And
is
again,
making massive differences.
Yeah, 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 for sure. So again, that's something that I can...
When I think you need to keep on top of, like, because the thing is, your physique changes.
Oh, for sure. That's what I mean. But when we start prep, Molly's coaching me for my next prep. So that'll be a fun next podcast, won't it? But yeah, we'll just go through posing. And then as my body's changing, we'll be like, no, this looks better. No, change that. No, do this. And that's what it should be for prep. Because you can't pose. I actually had to change my posing this year because I was posing the same as 2 years ago.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you've got fucking muscle now. You don't need to overpose your back to look like you've got muscle. You don't have to move your arms forward as much.
Yeah. And like we said with me, like, I'm changing my pose at the moment.
Yeah, you're literally going through it now.
Yeah, because I think I looked at my physique and I'm like, I think I've always got this thing in my head that my shoulders need to be a lot bigger. And like, although I still think they need to
I do know what you mean, because we went to Poland, you see the girls who won it, their rear shots, their caps, their delts are capped and they pop in from the back.
Yeah, yeah.
Which yours still are, but I agree, if you're doing it off-season, you need something to focus on.
Yeah, it so I know I do need more shoulders and more glutes, but I think like what I mean is posing-wise, whereas before, when I came back from my rear shot round, I used to put my hands on my hips and put my shoulders on top.
Yeah, yeah.
But actually, looking at that, like on stage, I think my shoulders are, I thought I needed to pose them up.
Pose them down.
A lot more than what I actually do. And it's not that I need to pose them down, but I think that actually posing like that now, I look at it from where I was in that, when I was lean.
Yeah.
Actually, I've got a lot more shoulder than I think I did.
But it's the thing as
and
well,
if
because...
if I did that on stage, I would look too big.
Well, because you pose a lot all the time, off season, you're very adept at posing different poses.
Yeah.
So when you do get leaner, you'd be like, okay, I can switch from this pose to this pose so I can see which one looks better. The leaner you get, one pose is going to stand out more than the other.
Yeah.
It's the same with open bodybuilders. It's like, okay, if I'm going to do a front double, do I want my leg together? Do I want my leg to the side? Do I want my abs tense? There's lots of things you can manipulate when you get leaner. You can only know that because you've been posing so much. You can nail all the poses.
And also, I just did a posing session a minute ago. And I had a conversation with her and I was like, look at who you're up against. Know your physique and look who you're up against.
Yeah, 100% agree.
And like...
I had this conversation with a guy in the gym last week as well. So he's got a few... He's a classic guy and he's got a few good poses. I'm like, look, if you are one of the bigger people in your classes, make that count.
Yeah.
Like you can do like the Arnold classic shot, for example, from front to rear. But for one of the smaller guys, they make your X-frame stand out.
Yeah.
Make your waist look tiny.
And like, yeah, because that's what I was saying to this girl. She is very similar to me in her structure. Like, she's very bubbly in her muscle.
Yeah.
She's got a very good, like, you know, they call it like the power pose, like front pose. But I was like, if you are against other girls that are big, muscly, bubbly, hit that power pose. Pose yourself up big.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're against girls that are like these skinny little bikini girls, you need to kind of hit slightly different poses to almost not pose yourself down, but like not be so overpowering in your poses almost. Because when you're...
Because you'll either be first or last in that class if that's the case.
Yeah. And that's the thing, like you kind of want to fit in with the others almost, but then stand out for the right reasons instead of standing out. And like I said to you, like when I went on that Tubro stage, I knew straight away I stood out because I was so much bigger. And like, yes, okay, I probably need to come in a little bit tighter. But I think even if I was tighter and I wasn't holding
it's
this
still very different look.
Stupid amount of water I've been holding,
yeah,
I still think that it would have gone either way because I was so much bigger.
Yeah.
And like, it's just a different look.
Yeah.
So it's one of them, isn't it? I think it's but if you know your poses, you know I can pose up or down.
Yeah, that's why posing is so important off season and
yeah. would you only ever date other bodybuilders if you weren't in a relationship already?
No, I've dated people who are not bodybuilders in the past and I've been in prep with people I've dated with and it's absolutely not a problem. Not a problem whatsoever.
No, I'm the
but
same.
I think it comes down to, obviously, our personalities are pretty chilled most of the time. So if you're with somebody who's not into the gym and not into bodybuilding whatsoever, just be normal.
Yeah.
Just don't be a bodybuilder at all times. Pretty simple. Yeah. To be fair, we're not bodybuilders at all times.
No, not at all. Like, I think, like I said, like I've definitely dated guys that are not bodybuilders.
No.
And I don't think there's ever been an issue. I just think you need to be more explaining of like what you're doing,
yeah,
why you're doing it.
Yeah.
So they can understand.
Yeah, for sure.
But okay. I think the main thing is support, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. It obviously goes back to what we've spoken about already.
Whether you're in a relationship with a bodybuilder or not, like it's
yeah, support and communication support. Are the two most important things.
Yeah. Date ideas in prep, because we were actually fucking well.
We were very good at this.
This is what I was saying the other day. I don't feel like our relationships suffered in terms of like building those memories, those bonds. Actually, like we've done so many great dates.
Yeah, Thorpe Park was our second date. You was in prep.
Yeah.
Obviously,
loads of art exhibitions.
Loads of art exhibitions in both the Southwest and in London. Museums as well. Paradox Museum.
Yeah.
Yeah, stuff like that was good. Yeah, tons of stuff.
Immersive art we like, don't we?
Immersive art, yeah.
Like just, that Wake the Tiger and
it just takes you out of your own head.
Yeah.
And even we went to loads of weddings.
Loads of weddings.
We're going to another fucking wedding next month, my sister's. That would be what, the seventh wedding we've been to this year?
Yeah. Well, not for you, for me.
No, I went to weddings before we got together.
Oh, yeah, I suppose.
I was in France, wasn't I?
Yeah.
Well, we were together then, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like, fucking hell.
A lot of weddings.
But yeah, even during the weddings, we were bringing our own food.
Yeah. But also, I think, like, looking for, like, what's on around you, because obviously prep can be expensive.
Yep.
And you want to find stuff that is less expensive.
But to be fair, we prep for the summer, so it's very easy to go with, like, find good woodlands or good parks or nature walks. That's great. But like, we played crazy golf at like one evening.
Yeah.
And even though that was obviously really cheap and we had a course ourselves because it was quite late. But even
that. It's like just finding something you need to get steps in. So like, yeah, going for walks I think is a massive one in different places. I think around Christmas time, like around this time of year, I think there's so much you can do.
Yeah.
Because like Christmas markets.
Well, even we was in London at the weekend.
Yeah.
Just got lost.
Yeah.
Didn't have to be anywhere for what we did for a dinner, but we showed up hours beforehand.
But like there's Christmas markets on and like
and
a lot of people think Christmas markets is like food and alcohol. But it doesn't have to be.
No,
like,
there's always games.
I don't
stuff
drink
to do
like
as well.
At all off season prep, like I don't drink.
But if you go to Christmas markets, obviously you can take in the food if you want to, but it's more there's activities to do.
Yeah, there's like ice skating.
Yeah, that's a no from me.
That's a no from you, but it's not a no from me.
My ankles could never.
For other people, they might enjoy that. There's like obviously, like, Winter Wonderland is, like...
massive.
Rides and stuff. You don't have to do the food bit of it.
This is the people who go to Winter Wonderland, they never talk about the food, do they?
No.
They always talk
about... everything else.
Yeah, this is
there.
It.
But, yeah, definitely, I feel like art's been, like, such a big thing for us. Even we sat and did... I would love to call it... artistic drawing.
Why do you hate me?
I don't hate you.
Why do you hate my art?
I just...
So, just to clarify, Moddy had this great idea. She bought little canvases, we bought charcoal. It was like, great, we're going to draw a body part of each other. So, we both find a picture of each other that we really, really like, zoom in on a certain part, not that part, zoom in on a certain part, and then draw it on this canvas. So, Moddy drew my quad and drew it very, very well.
I genuinely love that.
It's a very good picture.
Yeah,
it's great.
I think it's really cool.
So, I found a picture when you did one of your photo shoots on the beach and you was up against the car. He was in just a bikini and my white shirt.
Yeah.
So I zoomed in on one part of your body and drew it, and you hated it.
I don't hate it.
It's a very, very accurate representation.
Firstly, I've only got four toes in that picture. And then you tried to add on a fifth toe when I pointed out I'd only got four toes.
No, your toe was in the sand, so you can't. That's why you only had four on display.
Right. I've got really hairy legs.
Again, that wrong?
Yeah, it is wrong because I knew I shaved before that shoot. And I've just got like a massive foot and then a really skinny leg with like no calf muscle and a fat ankle.
Again, it's a very accurate picture.
Okay.
It's a vein on the foot as well.
It's one vein.
Yeah, you're very vascular foot.
And there's kind of no sort of background shading to that.
Well, I can't really do a background of nothing behind, can I? How am I meant to draw that?
There was sand and there was something else going on.
I've got the sand over your toe.
Oh,
you just hate it.
Sorry.
I think we should post these pictures at the end of this.
I think you might have to. I don't know how I'm going to add it to the thing, but...
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, so... But we also got, like, mugs to paint, and, like, I think you can just... You don't have to be good at art to do art, but it's something that you can do.
Yeah, and yeah, for sure.
That it can be really good fun. First off, plan together. What did we do?
It was in Jersey.
Ate hummus in the car when I cried.
Okay. And we didn't plan that, though.
No.
So what did we do? So we went to Jersey.
We had breakfast, didn't we? We considered
she said off plan, so not food, but what did we plan to do after prep? So obviously we didn't change much, did we, between prep and off season in terms of activities that we've done. But we did the most of what in prep, we went to the Van Gogh exhibition in off season.
Was it? I think I was still dieting then.
Maybe it was a couple of weeks ago.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe it wasn't then.
It's definitely off the jersey.
Yeah, we went. We haven't really changed anything. We've just...
Oh, to be fair, obviously, we went out for our first dinner properly together as a couple at the weekend.
Yeah, nice. Like, obviously, we've been out for food, haven't we?
Well, on our first date, we did, breakfast and some Thai food. So, like, lunches.
Yeah.
But then after that, we haven't done anything food.
No,
we're not food related.
No, in Poland, we went out for dinner, though.
Yeah, but I meant that as a... Oh, yeah, the candlelit one.
Yeah, we went out for a candlelit concert and dinner.
Oh, yeah.
And this doesn't count as dinner, apparently.
Oh, I forgot about that. In this country.
Yeah, in the UK.
But yeah, no, that's what I mean. It's the first one we've actually properly planned and dressed out for and did it. Where in Poland, it was a surprise to you.
Yeah,
Actually, it was a surprise to you as well.
Yeah, that's true.
I need to stop surprising you.
Which worked best? Oh, well, we don't really know, to be honest. Prep at the same time as your partner or at different times?
Well, until this time next year.
Yeah.
So you're prepping to start next year or prep at the end?
Yeah, I start prep again in a couple of weeks and you start prep?
July,
yeah.
Yeah, so I've got 7 months to get bigger. And yeah, by the time you finish in April... At least we have that May and June together.
Yeah.
To do like a holiday or something, and then I diet down, and then that's it. Easy.
Yeah. Let me see if you've got any more. No, I do have more questions. Bum, bum, bum. My Instagram is not getting many views at the moment, so. What do you find the hardest part in an off season?
Oh, eating.
100%.
Easy.
Yeah.
Very easy. So at the minute, we're still on a rebound, so our appetite's still fairly good.
Mine's starting to go again already, which I'm quite glad about, yeah.
What do you mean you're glad about?
Well, I start back again in a few weeks, don't I?
True, actually, yeah. For me, my appetite's still there, but let's say by January, if I'm having to eat 5,500 calories every day with no appetite, it's just a chore.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's honestly the worst bit.
I honestly think that people... I get people all the time, and they're like, oh, I can do what you do. Like, I couldn't, like, have such little food. And I'm like, that is the fucking easiest bit.
Oh,
like,
yeah, so much easier.
If you've off-seasoned and you've off-seasoned properly, like, you actually fucking pushed your weight.
You want to diet.
It's uncomfortable.
Oh, we get to
train
this.
Fucking hard. Yeah. Because that's, I think that's one of the biggest things is that people...
Train harder in prep.
No, I wasn't going to say that. People like the idea of pushing their calories really high and they're like, oh, my calories don't get really high. I'm like, because you don't train hard.
Yeah.
Like, when you train hard. That's the thing,
with prep, you've got a desired look and you've got an end goal, you've got a specific day you're aiming for. So you feel like you have to work hard because you want to get rid of the body fat. Well, you need to be working as hard, if not harder, in off season because you want that muscle to look good for when you're on stage.
Yeah. So when you're, like, that's what I mean. Like, when you're training hard and you fucking train hard, like, properly hard, which very few people actually do.
Yeah.
Your body's going to need that fuel to recover, and then your food does go up goes up. And when you're eating clean food as well, because this is the other thing, this is kind of what I put on my post earlier today, is like people do want to do like if it fits your macros and all that bullshit.
It doesn't work.
Like, you're eating such little volume food. You can't push your food because there's no fucking nutrient density to it. When you're eating a lot of clean food and you're pushing your food up and your calories do get fucking high, like... Mine have got fairly high. I've had gals on like 4,000 calories plus a day.
Yeah, this is
fucking mad, right? Train fucking hard, they eat well.
Oh yeah,
your food goes up and up. Right?
Oh yeah, peak off season last year.
That's the hardest part.
It's horrible. Peak off season last year was up to 6,500.
Yeah.
Hey, it's just you'd finish it. So it gets to the stage where I'd struggle to finish a meal, and I'd be staring at it. I was like, sure, I'm actually not going to fucking eat this because there's no point.
Yeah.
But then I'd have a good guesstimate of what macros are left, and at the end of the day, if my meal was six, it'd be I get a blender, oats, protein powder. And then obviously the volumes of that will change day to day, but how much food I didn't eat, plus my meal six, and just drink it. So it's in my system. It's done. Yeah. But even then, it's like, okay, I have to drink this fucking thick shake just to get some calories down me.
I just stuck to my plan, and I've got... But I would... So, you know what? I don't really... Post-show, I wanted to eat first thing in the morning, but yeah. Normally I don't eat first thing.
You push it right back.
I push it right back. I don't normally eat till like 10, half 10.
Yeah.
But like... I prefer that. Like, I can't eat first in the morning. I've always kind of been like it. Off season, I had to get up and I had to eat first thing.
Just get it all in.
To get all my food in, yeah. And like, I remember just thinking, like, this is... Like,
horrendous.
Sat looking at food, being like...
I don't want it.
I've still got another few meals left.
This is it. And then, yeah. Like, you literally just finished eating a meal and you look at a... Especially if it's later in the day. Like, I'm going to go to bed in 2 hours and I've got another two meals to eat. How the fuck am I going to do this?
Yeah.
And you haven't digested the meal you just ate and you still have to think about your next meal.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just awful.
Nah, not a fan. Your mate Jay that you said about in the beginning, like, obviously, it's funny because we've both known him for years, haven't we? He said to me before, he was like, he just texted me and was like, just fucking blend your chicken. And I was like...
He said that to me before as well.
And I was like, are you fucking joking? He was like, yeah, I'll just blend it.
Yeah, no. Just blend. Like, just blend. Get some protein powder in there. I can't
do that. He's like, no, he blends chicken, rice, veg. And I'm like, ugh, yeah, no, absolutely. There's a limit.
Yeah, no.
I will go to, and I'll just force feed it in me. But that I do think is the hardest bit.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt. Yeah. Oh, too, and like I said, actually being uncomfortable, being heavier. So some people do feel really unattractive in their off-season body, which is fair enough. But like you say, just being heavy and moving around, so you just feel horrible.
Yeah.
Like you just can't walk very far without getting a bit out of breath or a bit sweaty. It gets to the stage where I can't run a bath without being tired. I run my mouth when I get sweaty. Like, I can't run or move or do anything.
But that's like you in prep as well, don't worry.
Oh, I can run my mouth in prep.
I'm the opposite. Like, in off season, I feel more confident in my body.
Yeah.
Because I feel more from, like, I've got boobs in off season. Yeah. I've got more of a bum in off season.
The gap isn't as big.
The gap in my bum cheeks isn't as big. No, it's bigger in off season. It goes in prep.
That's what I mean.
I get more of a gap in
prep. Yeah.
Whereas in prep, I feel like I become like, I... Do you know what? This probably didn't feel it as much because I think I'd got more muscle mass.
Yeah.
Whereas I remember the prep before, and to be fair, like, I wasn't quite as lean.
Yeah.
But I wasn't far off. I remember the prep before thinking I looked like a little boy. Like, I just had no boobs. To be fair, my boobs had held on a little bit more. But I just had, like, no boobs at all.
Yeah,
like, my bum was gone. My legs were gone. Whereas now, because I've got a bit more muscle, I don't feel it as bad.
Yeah.
But you lose that femininity. And I think that's what I've always struggled with in prep.
Well, for men, it's the opposite. It's obviously you have that...
Yeah.
Like, the Greek godlike image in your head where being ripped and walking around with this 8-pack is fucking amazing. That's like the epitome of a good looking man, and you get somebody who did look like that and then a few months later they don't. And I think of that mess. It used to mess in my head when I first competed. It's like, oh, I used to look good, but now I don't.
Yeah.
It doesn't, now I don't care.
I know, though, I'm kind of, I wouldn't say in the minority, but I know there's a lot of girls that feel better
in off-season.
Lean. No,
oh,
lean.
Really?
Yeah. But also, you've got to think, like, my kind of age group, around...
30s.
Around the late 20s.
So on your next 30s. Birthday, you know you'd be in your fourth decade of living.
Yeah, thank you. I think we grew up, and it was size zero, wasn't it?
Yeah. Paris and Hilton and...
Yeah, and like, I even went...
What's the other one? Nicole Richie? Nicole Richie?
No.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Anyway, I know you mean.
I can't think who I'm thinking of. But I even went to school with a girl, and she was actually a runway model.
Yeah.
And, you know, tall, really, really, really skinny.
Yeah.
And I remember her being told that she wasn't allowed to do sport in school because she might gain muscle.
Oh my God.
And, like, they'd be like, oh, you're getting a little bit fat. And she was stick thin.
Yeah.
Stick thin.
But then you fast forward 15 plus years now, muscle mummy is, like, a big thing.
Yeah.
That's the look.
Well, you say that, but I've still... You still don't see it on a runway. You still don't see it.
No, you don't.
Whereas if I walk into Primark or wherever now, H&M, New Look, I can get plus size if I was a more like curvy woman.
Yeah, yeah.
But you don't get like muscles. No, you still do get the zero. Yeah, so you still like now you get petite, which used to be like the norm.
Oh, okay.
Like, that used to be like normal clothes, and now they're like, oh no, actually it's petite because no one's a fucking size zero, surprisingly. You get normal size and you get curve.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, size.
Yeah.
But you don't get like muscle size. So
stretchy clothes are the one.
Yeah. So for women, in the more, and like as a bikini girl, like, I'm not muscular. Well, I'm not like massively muscular. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I still struggle to find clothes.
Oh, trust me, it's the same for men as well.
Yeah.
I'm not off the peg.
No.
One of my quads is bigger than my waist.
For women, it's like more kind of like demonized. Like you don't see it. Like,
yeah.
You don't see on like, and I know you don't fucking watch it anyway, or you never would. But like looking at something like Love Island, you wouldn't see a woman cast on Love Island that carries muscle. Actual muscle. Yeah, but would you?
No, you're right.
You would see, and you look at it, and you see, like, skinny, but long girls full of filler.
But I bet the guys in there are fairly good shape, as in, like, lean or... Not bodybuilding ripped, but...
Yeah, to be fair, actually, they are going more... So now they say, like, oh, we're going more, like, normal bodies. Obviously, they're still all really attractive people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the girls are... Some are more curvy...
Yeah.
But they're still not muscular, whereas the men are a mix of, I still wouldn't say like big, but normal size.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And lean.
Skinny or muscular.
Yeah.
You don't see any muscular women.
That's it. Yeah, yeah.
And like, I do still think it plays into that narrative. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where women are a bit scared to put on muscle. And I think that's where men are... don't want to see it on a woman because they don't understand it because it's not shown in popular culture. Like, you can't tell me a single famous woman that's not in bodybuilding or gladiators. Do you know what I mean? Like, you couldn't tell me, could you?
No, it's true. No, it's true. You're not going to go to a cinema and see a lead female. They even look at the Avengers films.
Yeah.
Like, the women there are muscular, even though they play superheroes.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you get...
You're probably most muscular woman's like fucking Lara Croft, right?
Which is Angelina Jolie, who isn't muscular.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so true. You just get the girls who are really pretty who have to fit that role rather than the girls who should fit that role.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. But then again, you do get girls who are aspiring to look like the girls you don't see on the movie screens.
Yeah, I definitely think there is more, because, like you said, because of social media, I do think there is more women that are coming into their power that way.
Yep.
There's definitely a lot more figure girls on the set.
Yeah, way more.
Like, figure, you used to have, like, one or two in the
class. Yeah. Now,
whereas, like, that class that Kate did, there was, like, 14 of them. It was stacked.
Yeah. Yeah, it was more stacked than bikini, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... I think we've chatted a lot of shit, babe.
Just welcome to our relationship.
Yeah. So that's our podcast. If people want to find you, talk to you about anything at all, whether that is coaching, whether it's that they just want to ask you a question,
mm-hmm.
or whether actually they want their partner to talk to you about maybe what to expect,
yep.
Because they're going through a prep, where can they find you?
As I said at the start of my... greatest plug ever.
Yeah.
My Instagram is Ricky Stevens, RICKIE, Stevens, BB. Just, honestly, just slide my DMs. Just message me about anything, anytime. And I'll have a very open and honest conversation with anybody.
Yeah. And my Instagram, as always, is MollyJane_bikini. We'll be changing soon for reasons we'll talk about soon.
Exciting.
Very exciting. But thank you guys so much for listening. If you've enjoyed this episode, please like it, share it on your Instagram pages, tag us both in it, because we would love to see. Comment below what you enjoyed. If you want me to bring Ricky on the podcast again, and we can talk about something else, maybe we will. I think actually we're going to do another podcast rounding up our seasons.
Yeah.
My season. Yeah. I'm going to get you to interview me.
Okay, cool.
That's going to be my next podcast.
Are you going to tell me the questions, or can I make my own questions?
I'll give you a rough guideline, and then you can ask me.
And then I can ask my own ones too?
Yeah.
Wonderful.
I give you like a, this is what it's about, and then you can kind of
ignore that and do what I want.
I can edit this, remember. It's okay. On my laptop.
Well, it'll be a mix of both.
Okay. Yeah, so we'll do that next. But yeah, thanks for listening, and we will see you in the next one. Bye!